Our reading is Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, verse 1, and that's on page 785 of the Church Bibles. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep on by like the wind and go on. Guilty men, whose own might is their God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You, who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet, for by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint.
Tom, thanks for reading so well. And hello, my name's Kev. As Sam said, I'm the senior minister here at Euston Church. Great to have you with us, and well done for making it out this morning. It's real Habakkuk chapter 1 weather out there, isn't it? How long? I was walking along the street this week and I noticed a discarded newspaper on the pavement. I was thinking about this while I was walking, so I couldn't believe it when I saw the massive headline. There you go. My first thought was, our new sermon series has made front page news. Then I looked a bit closer. It was about how long Keir Starmer is going to be the Prime Minister for. How long? Here's the rock legend Bono. The U2 song 40, sometimes known as How Long, pinched its refrain from this biblical lyric. Bono had noticed that how long comes up a few times in Scripture. And he wrote, how long to sing this song? How long, how long, how long? How long to sing this song? I don't think it was one of U2's greatest hits, but Habakkuk is a song. At least it's going to end in a song. Turn over the page and have a look with me at the final verse. Sorry for the spoiler. 3 verse 19, end of. It's a quirky end to a Bible book. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Quirky verse, generally. These three chapters over three Sundays will take us on a journey that we're meant to go away from singing. That's not where we're going to begin. It's also not that the circumstances will have changed by the end of the book. Will we be able to join in Habakkuk's song when we get there, I wonder? Well, that's for another day. Back to chapter one, though. How long? Why? And I wonder what fills your headspace in those pauses. If you haven't ever cried why or how long before now, I think you will soon enough, so you need this book. Verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Habakkuk, 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 three different how to pronounce videos on YouTube gave me those three different options, so take your pick. We call him Habakkuk, where I come from. That's the Scottish way. So I hope you'll be okay with that. No context, no backstory. All we know about the guy is his name and his job. Chapter one starts strong. Feels like we haven't got time for pleasantries. We dive straight into the intensity of the prophet's complaint. Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you will not hear. Habakkuk's a prophet. We don't actually get to hear him prophesy. More usually in the prophecy section of the Bible, a word is delivered from the Lord to the prophet who speaks it to the people. This is very different. In Habakkuk, we are brought inside a conversation, a back and forth encounter with the Lord God. Really relational in that way, as the prophet talks to God and then gets an answer, speaks to him again, another answer, before he sings his song to the Lord about the Lord. I said verse 2 is the start, not really the beginning though. We're joining in what must already have been a long season of praying, crying, complaining. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry to you for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Sometimes you just have to say it, eh? God gets that. Habakkuk's one of the righteous mentioned in verse 4. We don't know his exact situation, trying to walk with the Lord, but surrounded, verse 2, by violence, wrongdoing, verse 3, violence again. Verse 4, the law, paralyzed. God's law? That's a joke. Justice never goes forth. And notice this is a portrait of wickedness among the people of God. And where are you, Lord? Feels like you're just another spectator sitting idly by in the theater of this horror show. iPlayer have just released a new adaptation of Lord of the Flies on Sunday evenings. Children left alone turn to savagery and violence. Author William Golding always meant it as a comment on societal breakdown among grown-ups. Well, here's Lord of the Flies in the kingdom of God. If the Old Testament tracks the rise and fall of their nation, we're clearly in the fall phase. Habakkuk summarizes it. Some of the other prophets paint in the detail of land grabbing, debt, slavery, dishonest measures, leaders like beasts, judges corrupt, neighbor turning on neighbor within the covenant community. Instinctively, I want to make connections here with violence in Gaza or South Sudan. Guttingly, the first connection has to be strife within. Financial scandals in churches. Abuse in churches. Abuse covered up. God's law? That's a joke. the wicked surrounding the righteous. Christians in the Church of England trying to be faithful to God's design for marriage, verbally abused violently online by other church people. You know, there's a long history of Christians being persecuted by other church folk when they refuse to make the compromises deemed necessary to, well, survive in this totalitarian regime or fit in with this secular culture. Today in Ethiopia, Mexico, other places, evangelical Christians get displaced, prejudiced against, worse stuff from more acceptable denominations. Is the Lord idle? Britain, so-called Christian nation, legal system and values so much founded on the law of God. And yet, 40-year-old man died in hospital Wednesday the 4th of February following a violent disorder in a supermarket car park on Soho Road. Boy arrested over double stabbing at a London school on Wednesday this week. You know, the BBC website has a whole separate section called London Violence. A killing 2 days ago, 5 days ago. On the 4th of February, a train passenger challenged a fare dodger who jumped the barriers. This person was kicked almost to death. And on and on and on. I'm not talking about Habakkuk's day. That's every weekend in this city. Some of you are social workers. You know what goes on behind the closed doors. Some of you have worked in hospital emergency departments. Teachers report the growing mountain of safeguarding concerns. Some of you work in the courts. Destruction and violence. Strife and contention. And where is the Lord? He does see. Doesn't save. Is he just sitting watching? Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Common to point the finger of blame Godward when life's unfair. But the more you believe about him, the more this disillusionment can intensify. Because the atheist who believes we're all just dancing to the tune of DNA, and even the agnostic who reckons if God exists, he must be distant and indifferent, they have no particular reason to expect better. When you live by faith, when you know he is sovereign and good, why? Habakkuk's a mature believer. I feel challenged by how much he's grieved by injustice and violence, particularly among the people of God. We can get so desensitized and apathetic. Even when we do care, crippled by anxiety, or we complain about God, ghost God. I think I bottle it up with God naturally, don't express my how longs and whys. That's not good. This is a complaint, it says. Strong language to complain to God. But in Habakkuk's complaining, he is always leaning in towards the Lord, Yahweh, who he knows is a God who helps and saves. How long? Because he knows the Lord has promised better. And yet, I cry and you will not hear. You will not save. We sometimes act like doubts, such as these, are for the hope explored phase. Once you get your doubts cleared up, you can become a Christian and you'll never have any doubts again. No. Permission to feel this. Say it out loud. You might be deeply confused by strife among fellow believers, grieved by the sins of the church. You might be personally affected by violence. This is also a model for responding to all the ways we feel the brokenness? Is there space for prayers like Habakkuk's in your quiet time? Or your small group? Dear God, how long are you going to ignore me? How long are you going to sit idly by? Amen. Awkward. Maybe you should stay quiet in the group times for now, till you can pray nicely. Now, he is more than capable of coping with every rough edge you want to pour out. Let's be an honest church, shall we? Confusion's not wrong. Our cries and whys are not a problem for him. It's about where we take them. Sam did a sermon on unanswered prayer a few weeks ago. Habakkuk's is not an unanswered prayer. Because, secondly, the Lord replies. Verse 5. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astonished, for I'm doing a work in your days that you wouldn't believe in if told. You see the violence. You feel, I sit idly looking at wrong. Well, look at this. Verse 5 again. Behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth. Well, you are going to believe this, Habakkuk. I am going to tell you this, but your jaw's going to hit the floor because the Chaldeans is another word for the Babylonians. And there's a little more information on the context of this book. Most of the people of God have already been taken captive by a global superpower at this point. Habakkuk lives in the era where big bad Babylon is about to rampage and exile the rest of them. The shock is not that Babylon will rise up. It's the gods doing the raising up. The shock is that this is the answer to Habakkuk's prayer. You want me to do something about violence and injustice in the kingdom of God? Well, justice will be done. I'm going to destroy the kingdom at the hands of pagan brutes. That's what Babylon were. Read the description here. You don't even need to do the tour down the road at the British Museum to get the gist. Dreaded, fearsome, a law unto themselves. Horses like beasts. I mean, I guess horses are beasts, but their horses are like wild predator beasts. And their riders too. These fellows scoop up captives like you'd scoop up sand on the beach, scoffing as they sweep through like the wind. You're their leader? Pah, stab. That's your fortress? Looks like Lego bricks. Stomp as they sweep on and sweep on. And end of verse 11, these guilty men whose own might is their God. Picture them kissing their biceps. I take it God goes into this detail because he wants to make it clear he's not naive. He's not sent in the heavies and they turned out a bit heavier than he expected. God knows they're the CEOs of wickedness. The Lord God is raising up guilty men, the Chaldeans, against his own people as a punishment for his people's crimes. What do we make of that? Well, we can't pronounce this today about nations against other nations and that this means that God is punishing Ukraine or whoever. Beware of church leaders who spout off about specific contexts. You get this all the time online, I'm afraid. And it's just a massive overreach, that speculation. Because we don't know what's going on from the God's eye view without specific revelation like this. We shouldn't pretend we do. We know God never changes, though. One of the main things we're doing when we open the Old Testament is learning about him. And what this specific word from the Lord reminds us is that God is, well, God. He's very big. We don't understand what particular wars mean in the grand scheme. He's Lord of the nations, though. There aren't really Christian countries in that way. They're all his. Every world leader operates under God's permission. He clearly grants some pretty terrible permissions. Even raises up dreaded regimes like Babylon to achieve his purposes, his good ultimate purposes. Struggle to get your head around that? Habakkuk did. See his response? Habakkuk basically says, why this reply? Verse 12. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, a rock, have established them for reproof. Take it, that's me reading in the correct tone, because God says you're not going to believe this. And because Habakkuk describes this as a complaint. His second complaint is again the complaint of a person of faith. But the faith is sandwiched with raw accusation in the middle. Verse 13. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you sit idly, look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? Bad enough the wicked running riot within the people of God. Now you're going to overrun us with even more wickedness. You're going to make us like dredged up fish. Verse 14, like crawling things that have no ruler, he brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. You, God, make mankind like the flesh. He, the wicked foe, brings them up with his hook. I once got caught in a fish hook. Myself, my father-in-law took me fishing when I first joined the family, and I panicked. The rod was flying everywhere. Eventually, I caught myself in my mouth. Confirmed father-in-law's suspicions. His daughter had married an idiot. Anyway, the Babylonians, they used to drag their captives in a procession on hooks in their mouths attached to a big rope. Unbelievably degrading, dehumanizing. God's raised these boys up. Verse 17, is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? Now we're talking more broadly. Where's this going to end? Is the point of verse 17. Are you going to let them bludgeon every country on the planet? Some of the regimes God has allowed, currently allows. We pray for Ukraine a lot here, North Korea. Is he going to stay silent as the wickedness rages on? Permission to ask the why questions. If you're praying for the world up at the front here, permission to keep it real. Again, Habakkuk leans into the Lord with his doubts. And it's important what frames this second complaint. It's important to see what makes it a complaint of faith. First, he doesn't abandon what he knows about the Lord. People often do that to try and get our heads around him, or even to get him off the hook. Oh, his hands must be tied. He sees and cares. He'd love to act. Must be just trapped in the journey of pain with us. Now, don't shrink God, even when keeping him big feels uncomfortable. Now, just as he could intervene to end any suffering at any moment, and often chooses not to, he permits, even raises up and uses beasts like Babylon. Maybe he's not good then. But Habakkuk won't go there either. Verse 12, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. We've got forever promises from him. My Holy One is my God. He is total purity, verse 13. Habakkuk doesn't say, God's established these bad guys so he can't truly be holy. But it does all mess with his head. Can't look at wrong, and yet you idly look at traitors. You know when you experience life and the world and you think, is God still out there? Well, Habakkuk, raw and real, is our mentor in authentic faith. Because he doesn't storm off, stupid God. He doesn't get it. Yet he keeps leaning Godward. 2 verse 1. I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Climbs a watchtower. The Tower of London's a watchtower. You go and climb it this week. That's the application of Habakkuk 1. BT Tower, even better. But it's a symbolic gesture that symbolizes his disposition. Confused, distressed, still waiting, looking to the Lord for the answers Habakkuk doesn't have right now. We're going to leave Habakkuk in his watchtower till next Sunday. And maybe we should sit with him in this posture this week. We know he gets the answer. You can read ahead to chapter 2 if you want. We see more than Habakkuk because we see Christ. Still, we live with unfair stuff that's too confusing. We live with how longs that feel too long. Faith complains to the Lord. Faith holds on to what we know to be true of him, even when we can't square it with what we see before our eyes. Faith waits for him to resolve the tension. Because, well, where else will we go? Pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who understands and gets it when your people face times of pain, violence and suffering. Thank you, Lord, that you see and know when your people are facing injustice. And we are so sad, Lord, that when what should be your faithful church is instead full of strife, scandal, and abuse, when your supposed people are seeking to do harm and not good. And we pray for us as a church family that you would keep us from turning from your law. Help us, we pray, to be a church that loves you and your ways and seeks to live and honor you. And we pray for those in our church family who might have faced pain wrongly caused by people in churches. Please be their help and comfort. We pray for those in our church family who are suffering at the moment and have faced injustice, destruction, or violence. Please, Lord, help them to keep leaning into you and bringing their anguish and complaints to you. We pray for Euston Church to be a place of safety, love, healing, and compassion. Would we reflect Jesus and stand against evil? And we pray for us as individuals here, in our families, our workplaces, neighborhoods, that we would be lights in the darkness and persevere when trials come, knowing that we have a God who helps and saves. And Father, we turn to pray for the persecuted church. We pray for our brothers and sisters, especially in Iran, Libya, Pakistan, Nigeria, Syria, Eritrea, Sudan, Yemen, Somalia, and North Korea. We pray for those who face violence daily, rejection by friends and family, and threat of imprisonment. And we cry out with them, "How long, O Lord?" We pray that they would know your daily strength and help. Please help them to trust you with bringing justice. And please would you sustain them through their trials, and would they find their comfort and rest in you. We thank you for organizations like Open Doors who support them. And we pray that you'd help churches to come alongside them in prayer and financially. We pray that you'd keep enabling them to reach Christians even in the darkest of places. And would you bring provision, comfort, and hope to them. And Father, we turn to pray for our fragile world and the tension between many countries. We pray for the leaders of those countries to govern with wisdom and justice. We pray for them to come to fear you, and we pray against selfish motivations. We ask, Lord, that you would help those who are facing daily instability because of bad governance. Pray particularly for the talks between America and Iran. And we ask, Lord, that you'd be at work to bring peace, not war, to bring light in the darkness, and to bring comfort in the suffering. And we long, Lord, for a leader to rule with justice, integrity, wisdom, selflessness, and compassion. We long for leaders to stand against evil and violence. We long for Jesus. So we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.